I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 477, Pokemon Detective Pikachu Gesundheit.
Pokemon exclamation point.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
are we going to do this whole episode talking like Pikachus?
No.
You should release a fake episode where,
like
it's,
they
just,
did?
Where it's just like, Pika Pika.
Yeah.
Pika Pika. Just like,
no, that's a great
40 Pikachu. Minutes
isn't
of that.
Isn't that what Ryan Reynolds released? Was like, it was
a dance video.
Yeah, right.
So, I guess let's go around the table and introduce ourselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And returning from the box office report, or the not box office report, is Nicole Hsu. Hey, Nicole, how's it going?
Hi. I don't know if I should ask how you guys are.
Like, that's not an answer to how's it going. How's it going? Hi. That's all you need to know.
Well, because I mean, that's awkward. We already did this.
I know. Yes.
It's like,
they don't know that.
I'm great.
This is the smoke.
How are you guys?
This is the smoke and mirrors of
podcasting.
I'm ruining the illusion.
Yes. You're shattering people's illusion that we record these at separate times. I think we should just be done with the whole show.
Over. It's over.
This is our last episode.
We haven't even gotten to 500 yet. We're so close.
Is that the goal? We're going to hit 500.
Well, yeah.
500 is going to be a not box office.
Just to be clear,
quit.
He meant downloads.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
No, the goal is I look at whatever this week's episode number is and say, please let us get to the next one. you're looking way too far.
You're like in recovery. One day at a time. So, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. And don't forget our Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers. And then, of course, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. And while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. So,
and also, I wanted to remind people about show spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people may not know we have a television branch. And right now, friend of the show, Brad Hyan, and I, we're going through Game of Thrones, the final season. And we do a weekly podcast. Usually, they launch on the Monday after the new episode. So, you know, people are, after they watch something, they want to get a discussion in. They want to theorize and all that. So that's why we release the episode so early. It is it's an initial reaction. We record right after the episode ends. So for anyone who's listening, like, oh, yeah, but this and that, it's like, give us a break. We just watched it. We haven't read about it. We haven't talked about it other than to each other at the time. But
right.
It's a fun time. We both are huge fans of the show.
Have both of you read all the books?
I have not read all the books. I've read all of them through. I haven't finished the last one. So that's like in my downtime between seasons, I'll go through and read the books just to give, you know, a little Game of Thrones. But anyway, yeah, this season's been different. It's been a little difficult with the quality of the show, and it's very polarizing for fans and online and everything. But Brad and I give it our best, and we go through and theorize. So it's a lot of fun, and we've done Mr. Robot before. We've done Westworld. We did the whole Westworld season 2. So if you want to go back and listen to any of those or going forward, we usually just pick a big popular TV show and record for each episode.
And so look for season 15.
No.
Oh, okay.
And look for my season of show spoilers based entirely around the Honeymooners.
Yeah, I was saying MASH.
Yeah.
Yours is still coming through the Telegram.
Right.
Yeah.
They're
transcribing it.
So, okay, well, that's all that. I guess let's dig into Detective Pikachu.
I'm sorry, what movie?
Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
We don't want their lawyers busting in the door.
Sorry. Let's dig into Pokemon Detective Pikachu Gesundheit.
So this movie missed me by a generation. Right. So,
well, you're talking about Pokemon in general.
In general. Okay. But like this movie, I feel like if you are of this generation of Pokemon lovers, this is like porn for you.
And Pokemon is for lovers.
Yeah. Like my kid is just now starting, my oldest is just now starting to like get into this a little bit. And she's like, I know that one. And I was like, I don't know any
of
these.
It's for the fans, and I'm not up to date on it, but you could tell the way they would introduce them and it was a good looking movie. Like the way they crafted the world and all the Pokemon intermingling. You could tell they're like, oh, people are gonna, you're supposed to go, oh, they have this, or oh, this is how this one moves or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's really for the fans. I think we should probably go into the movie if we have any knowledge or love of Pokemon.
None.
Yeah, so you never watched it, never played with the cards.
Nope.
Okay, Pokemon, the craze was when I was in middle school, and so it was all about bringing the cards and trading with your friends. The TV show was very popular back then. When I got to high school, I mean, it was like, okay, moving on to other things. But in middle school, it was huge. And I'm amazed to see like my son now, who's almost 10.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still releasing new cards and new packs.
My kid's eight. She'll be eight in May. Or later this month.
And they're hugely popular still.
Yeah. She's got a book like this.
Oh, vault? Like an index, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they used to sell like the Pokedex, which you could pull up all the different Pokemon in it.
Oh, and Pokemon Go. We didn't even mention that.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was huge for a summer, and then it went away.
I mean, it's still around, but like, yeah, when that was released, it was people walking around the streets looking at their phones. It was like,
thank God that's over.
But I mean, people like walking into oncoming traffic, looking at like,
people would set up like a whatever they were called, and
gyms?
Just rob people.
Oh, I don't know.
That's a real thing.
Totally. That
they would set up gyms, and then people would show up at the gym, and they'd be like, give me all your money.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's hilarious.
So, I say Nicole doesn't think it's horrible. She thinks it's hysterical.
It's both.
Your laugh was great because you were both shocked and like, but hat tip.
Yeah.
That's
well
brilliant.
Played,
yes.
Tom, you.
Well, it's so sad. Can you imagine robbing some nerdy kid who's just on his phone or her phone?
Yes.
Hey, wait a minute. I played Pokemon. Never mind. Yeah. Moving on. You were too old.
They have a bunch of extraneous cash they don't know what to do with. Yeah. So it's just like, well, they've got it on him. And
yeah, Pokemon got popular, I think, when I was like in my 20s.
Okay.
So but I know it because my kids played it. So like I know I recognize a lot of the older, more popular
the
Pokemon.
Original.
See, like to me, I know the Charmander and the Bulbasaur, like
the
original
those are
the three,
ones
right?
That I kind of know.
When they get to like Monkey and Ninja Guy or what, it's like, I have no
idea. Yeah.
When Mewtwo showed up, my kid was like, Mewtwo!
Well, that was Pokemon the movie 2000.
Well, there was a movie.
Yeah,
I had no idea. Oh, okay.
So, Nicole, how about you? Are you into Pokemon at all?
Yeah, so I was in elementary school. I was debating whether to say this in the other episode because you guys were like, oh, I was old when I got into it. But I was a kid in elementary school, and I never really had the cards, but I watched the TV show pretty regularly. I don't remember anything from it, though. And then there was a movie about Mewtwo that came out when I was 5 or 6, and I saw it in movie theaters with my dad. But again, I don't remember anything from it. I just have very fond.
She's using all her memory cells for the PhD.
Yeah, the PhD
unlike
us,
we use all our memory cells for who was the cinematographer on Godfather?
Oh, Captain America picked up Thor's hammer for the first time.
Right.
Thor number 390.
Yeah.
So
drawn by Sal Buscema.
Yeah.
So yeah, like that Pokemon the movie was 2000 or maybe right before.
Wait a minute. You were 5 years old in 2000?
No. I was 8.
That doesn't matter.
That's not radically different.
Now, hold up here. Hold up. So like that movie came out pretty much hot on the heels of the popularity of the TV show.
Sure.
And so I remember that. And apparently, if you have that card they give you, which I never got a card from my theater. So if you have that Pokemon
card. Do you still have it?
Probably not.
Oh, you gasped.
Probably in a closet. Yeah.
Well,
you gasped like you were about to pay off your student loans.
Finally, God, this is... Now, you can't thank Real Spoilers for something, right?
Yeah.
But if you have that card, I guess it was a Mewtwo card or whatever they gave out. Apparently, it's rare. I mean, it may not be like thousands, but hundreds or something.
Yeah.
It was only at a giveaway at the movie.
Oh, okay.
And so, and I think maybe there were coins or something. I don't know the whole story, but that was supposedly really popular. And
wasn't there like a Backstreet Boys song or an NSYNC song?
What?
In the one of the Pokemon movies? Maybe.
I remember I Got to Catch 'Em All song.
Maybe it was 98 Degrees.
So I remember driving my son crazy when he was like 4 or 5 because the movie was...
Is that what happened?
That's what happened. Yeah, it didn't have anything to do with his mother's genes. But I remember like this movie, like the... I don't know if it was the closing credits or like the big final scene was like a song, and it was like Brother, He's My Brother.
It's on the level of like Whitesnake doing the theme from Transformers.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of. And so like I would drive him crazy because the song was so cheesy, and I would like turn around and like just melodramatically be like, Brother, he's my brother, and he'd be like, stop it.
I don't remember that. All I remember is that song, that Gotta Catch 'Em All song.
Blessed Union of Souls is the band that did that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did the Brother song?
Yeah.
So
I could have swore there was a bigger band.
Have they come back for
that.
Their reunion tour yet, Joe?
That was released in 2015. So,
oh, I don't know.
Oh. Well,
no, this song is not from 2015. This is
You're off by a few decades.
No, it's got Pokemon Brother, My Brother.
Oh,
fully.
It might be a remake.
I think that's a.
Or you were with those San Antonio travel guys.
I pulled up Pokemon the first movie soundtrack. Brother, My Brother is Blessed Union of Souls.
Yeah, so. So that was huge, though. But that I did know Mewtwo because of the movie. Like, the Mewtwo was the star of the first big Pokemon movie.
Right. 98 Degrees is on the soundtrack.
Ah,
as is Christina Aguilera, Britney Spears, NSYNC. Okay, NSYNC is on there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Who has top billing on that album? Is 98 Degrees listed above NSYNC?
I think Pokemon got top billing on that.
It's just listed by tracks, I think.
Yeah, it's just the cover is just music from the motion picture, and it's got Mewtwo and is there a girl Mewtwo?
No,
I think there's a Mew and a Mewtwo. Like,
hey,
somehow
this is a kids movie.
So
you perv.
So I think that really shows you, though, those people on that soundtrack, how popular Pokemon was. Those were the hottest artists of the 90s.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're all on a Pokemon, an animated, you know, battling monsters cartoon.
Well, 98 degrees, but you know.
Aaron Carter is on the soundtrack.
Oh, there you go. So. Yeah, so, okay, so we have a couple of us that watch Pokemon, it's a good balance, I think, healthy balance for the episode.
So did people like the movie? How was it for you, Nicole? Was it a good movie, or was it like Howard the Psyduck?
I
just said that so I could make it the Howard the Psyduck joke.
Yeah, I got it.
But did you like it overall?
I did. I liked it. I didn't know what to expect. I was hoping that it would be like Deadpool, but kind of more kid friendly. And it absolutely was. So for me, I thought it was really cute. I thought it was really funny and clever. I love the kind of adult humor that was slyly put in at the very end of a lot of scenes. And I just enjoyed it thoroughly.
I'm in the same boat. I had no interest in seeing this movie. I was not excited for it. I haven't watched or played Pokemon in forever. You know, I used to play the Game Boy game. I watched the show a little bit in middle school, and like I mentioned, I saw that movie, but I haven't been into it in years. I don't know any of the new ones. All I know is sometimes I buy like a diamond pack for Ryan at Target or whatever. You know, I don't know anything about it, but I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was fun, and I liked being able to spot like, oh, that's a Charmander, that's a Bulbasaur. Mm-hmm. Like, I still remember all those, the original Pokemon. I didn't know any of that new stuff, but like, that's the thing. I think this movie is totally, I agree, it's for the fans, but it was like, it's for the parents, and they show them all the stuff they knew, and it's for the kids that collect. And I thought it was really funny, and at first I totally, like, trailer-wise, hated the Ryan Reynolds voice. I'm like, he's just talking. Like, he's not doing a voice. Like, why is Ryan Reynolds Pikachu? And I thought in the movie it worked. I really liked it.
Well, when they give you the reason, he sounds like Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
Oh, no, and no, and reasoning aside, I mean, I didn't like it, right? But, like, I thought it really worked watching it. I'm like, oh, okay, it's...
We got the trailer for that new Dave Bautista movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got that too.
Okay,
that looked pretty good.
I got to tell you, there's two trailers. This was the family friendly trailer.
Oh,
is that the one where he's an Uber driver?
No, that's stupid.
So he's got two movies.
Yeah, he's got
out.
He's okay. the Camille Noonjami movie. Yeah. Is coming out.
So I went to the bathroom during this, and then I saw a trailer online like pop up for Stuber. I'm like, is that what they were showing?
No, but, no, okay. No. So this other, there's another trailer that is definitely more adult oriented than this one. And I was just like, well played.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, Pokemon, yeah, right.
You see that a lot. I remember Tangled had three trailers. They had one for girls, one for boys, and then one for adults that positioned
that was brilliant.
As a rom-com.
Oh, interesting.
And did they do something similar with Frozen? Maybe that was just a huge phenomenon despite, but I couldn't remember if like they had a girls trailer and then a Kristoff trailer with, like, maybe
yeah,
they
might
from
have, but they do that a lot with yeah. with Disney movies.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I as we're watching the trailer, I looked at Belle. I was like, what do you think about that? She's like, yeah, let's do it.
So what is it, like, yeah, right, how did this come off to the non-Pokemon fans that don't know any of these?
So it was fine. You know, it didn't blow my socks off. It was just not like the kid liked it. So like I enjoyed watching her get a kick out of the movie. It, for me, it was just like, what movie are we doing this week?
Yeah.
All right.
So let's talk about Oh Heavenly Dog for a minute. So,
shall we?
Yeah. Oh. So
thank you.
Oh Heavenly Dog came out in 1980, starring that generation's Ryan Reynolds, Chevy Chase.
Correct.
And it starred Benji.
Oh, really?
Oh, that yeah. was actually the Benji dog?
Yeah, it was actually the Benji that. Dog. Yeah.
Was it wasn't a Benji movie?
It was a Benji movie.
Oh, okay.
It was written by Joe and directed by Joe Camp, who's the Benji guy.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it actually is in that universe?
No, it's not in that universe, was, okay. but it's but it actually stars Benji.
Right.
Okay.
And so Chevy Chase plays a detective.
Yeah.
Who is killed.
Yeah.
And he is put inside the body of Benji.
Wow.
And then tasked with solving his own murder.
Which there's is, no which way great.
As Benji.
There's mm-hmm. no way that's just coincidence.
I mean, it's the movie. It's the movie.
Now I get yeah. why Tom messaged me. He's like, "Have you seen the movie yet?" And he's like, "I don't want to go
yeah,
into this."
Yeah, and so like I stopped saying anything.
I completely forgot about that.
Did the rest of America.
Well, that was one of those.
The
like,
movie is on YouTube in its entirety.
I remember
nobody cares
when you. I was in that transitional period between like. Kid movies and like teenage movies,
right?
So it was like The Incredible Mr. Limpet, The Shaggy Dog, things like that.
Yeah,
and this one was in that rotation,
right?
And I completely forgot about it until you brought this up, and it is this movie.
Yeah,
it didn't even click that I'd seen this. I'd seen that. Maybe that's why I was so disengaged.
I think that's why, like, not that it's like this huge mystery, but like I was instantly like. Oh, so like Pikachu is the dad.
Oh,
right.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I was waiting the entire time because I had never seen the movie.
Right.
So I'm like, I knew that something was going to happen. I'm
right.
like, what is the mystery? Where is this guy? I thought, I'm like, okay, maybe Mewtwo did something. I don't think Mewtwo killed him. I'm thinking Mewtwo has him somewhere. Or I thought maybe Mewtwo was being controlled by the dad. Like he figured out how to control.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what the reveal was. When I saw that, I'm like, wow, never for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was instantly like, oh, Ryan Reynolds is the dad.
Once wow. they don't show the dad.
Right.
Like, you know,
but
you
that's pretty deep into the movie.
No, you see him like when he's crawling out of the car.
But they make a point to shoot.
Oh,
but
yes.
I feel like it's pretty deep into the movie where they're obviously not showing
right,
him.
Right,
like,
right, right.
You know.
Yeah, he's just a shadow figure the entire film.
Right. Yeah, like... Yeah, like at first it feels more organic, but there's a shot pretty deep in the movie where I'm like, okay, they're clearly hiding
right,
who he
yeah.
is.
It's the scene where he's walking away from Bill Nighy.
And I thought that's maybe because they didn't know who they were going to cast at
right.
that time, or I thought maybe it was a big actor they could only get at the end. Like in my mind, I kept trying to figure that out. Like I love detective and mystery movies.
It was
movies.
A big actor.
And
you can only get at the
right,
end.
Right,
he also is the star of the movie.
But I love the Sherlock Holmes movies, and I love movies where you have to try to solve it, and you get to kind of play along.
Yeah.
So the whole time, I'm reasoning and trying to figure out, well, why are they doing this and that? And when it hit me at the end, I'm like, oh my God, he saved him, because we spoil things. That's what we do.
Oh, yeah.
It's like... Mewtwo ended up being an okay Pokemon that they're trying to chase down this whole time, and he puts Ryan Reynolds, the dad, into Pikachu's body, and that is, I guess, why the kid can understand him.
Yes,
because I don't explain
it,
but
yeah.
it's like
yeah.
it's his dad; they're related, and so he has that connection to be
right.
able to understand
right.
the Pikachu. Because in this movie, no one else can; they all hear the Pika Pika, kind of a thing.
What do they hear, Kevin?
Yeah,
well, you did it earlier too. So
I also sang.
Yeah.
So yeah, so this movie kind of kicks off with a somewhat action beat where you see a car kind of driving away, and Mewtwo kind of busts out of this nondescript container, shoots the car flips over, and we're led to believe that that's the end of whatever was in that car. Flash forward to where we meet the kid. I don't know what this kid's name is.
Justice Smith?
Who is this guy?
He's the kid from Fallen Kingdom, the nerdy, goofy guy that I know you guys didn't like him. Tom hated him, but I was like, this kid's so relatable. He's scared crapless about these dinosaurs chasing him. Like, I thought he was pretty funny.
I forgot
the computer hacker.
Yeah. Wait, in the last
Fallen Kingdom? Yeah, the last one.
So I didn't see that.
Oh, you've just never seen?
Nope.
Oh,
I did the first Chris Pratt one. And then I think I was out of town.
Being a horror guy, I can't believe that you didn't, because there's so many horror elements in that movie.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's great, but I just, of all, isn't it?
Does Bryce Dallas Howard run in heels in that movie?
They make fun of it, though.
They make fun of it. Yeah, they do.
Anyway, neither here nor there, but he's the hacker in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Got it. So he's kind of like this average kid who... They establish
let's set up the world.
Yeah, they establish immediately that this is kind of like a Looney Tunes episode, like, you know, Space Jam or Back in Action, where Looney Tunes, I guess it's more like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where the cartoons live in the same world as the people.
But these aren't. I mean, these are really good CG live action. Like, it isn't.
No. It's not.
They
2D
don't know
animation.
Their tunes or
no,
anything.
Yeah, right.
But the point is that you have to, when you go into this world, you believe that Pokemon are just like animals, just like a bird or a squirrel running around. These Pokemon live in the wild. People do train them and have battles outside of the city that we're going to get to here in the movie. But they exist, and you get your Pokemon partners, what they call them. You capture them with a Pokeball. I mean, this is all stuff out of the original game.
So wouldn't battling with Pokemon then be kind of like a dog fight?
I was thinking the same thing. It's a cockfight.
I mean, basically,
I was trying to keep it clean, but okay.
Mine was clean.
Some people are bringing that up, and I haven't heard like a huge outcry about it. I mean, these are fictional creatures after all. It is from a game that's been popular for 30 years and all that. I think the point is they don't kill each other. And I mean, it's just in this world, that's what they do. And they have their special abilities. It seems like anyone that loses, it's just they regenerate and they're good to go.
Right.
So it's a point, but it's like...
But yeah, like by making it too realistic, you start to ask those questions. Like in 30 years of Pokemon, I've never equated it to a dog fight.
So you see them,
but
in real...
soon as they're like
live action
or like appear photorealistic, I'm just like, but wait,
this movie was shot on film and looks beautiful.
It's a good looking movie.
This is a fantastic looking movie.
I totally agree.
And I'm amazed how usually we talk about, well, they shoot digital now, so 3D and CG effects, they blend in better because they're digital.
Why did they shoot it on film?
Well, just, I mean, it looked amazing. This movie would have looked cheaper, I think. I mean, the
I didn't even know they still shot
movies
on film.
It was just the cinematographer's choice.
I just thought that, like,
Nolan and Spielberg.
Okay, but again, like, this movie's not made by a Nolan. Like those guys get to be like, I'm shooting on film because I'm a brand name director. That ain't what we got
going
on here.
The Pokemon guy's like, no, I'm shooting on film.
Right. Like, I thought the studio would have been like, no, you're not.
Yeah, just
and he'd have been like, okay, sir.
It was the cinematographer's choice. He decided to shoot on film, and he also came out when the Sonic trailer came out, and he's like, our movie looks better because it's shot on film. That's one of the reasons why it doesn't look cheap. Like, just the scenery, not even the Pokemon, because the
Or maybe because they got their figures right.
Oh, they designed them right?
Yeah, like the Pokemon look like the Pokemon from...
But the fact is, this movie was shot on film, and you can tell. It is a beautiful-looking film, and I thought that the CG, the Pokemon, blended in really well. Their CG in this movie is top-notch. I'm not a huge CG person, but you have a fully CG population with the Pokemon here, and I thought they looked really good.
Well, I was really impressed by the textures of all the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like the wet Pokemon, the squishy ones, and the furry ones, they were all amazing.
The detail, they spared no expense when it came to the detail on these creatures, and I think that's what makes it look so believable, because when you're going to blend live action and CG or animation or whatever, there's always that distinction where, unless you set it up like Roger Rabbit, where it's just accepted their tunes.
Sure.
It's uncanny if you don't, you know, explain it that way. And by putting them as such a normal part of this world, I think they did a great service to it because it elevated it. You never take it out like, oh, that's a fake cartoony looking thing. Like, for all intents and purposes in this world, they blended in seamlessly.
They did.
And that's the thing. I think the Pokemon at this point, they have that audience and they knew we can't screw this up.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
This is their first live action.
It's their first entry into the live action world, and I feel like if they knew we had to make this right, and if we did screw this up, we are screwing ourselves for future movies.
Yeah, and if they do this right and put the money and time into it, then how many spinoffs? And look, they've already greenlit a sequel before this one's released. So they did it right, and I think they knew what they had, and that's why they're not afraid to move forward.
Right. So, yeah, so we're introduced to the main character, and he's kind of, I won't say he's a schlub, but he's kind of just like a meh kind of kid.
Well, I think the main thing we should say is he's anti-Pokemon. He's distanced himself from Pokemon. We don't know exactly why,
right.
But he doesn't have his own. And his friend, who is Dopinder from Deadpool.
Is that who that was? Yeah, okay, yeah. That was great.
With the Ryan Reynolds connection, I guess he got him that little character part. But so his friend has him try to go and catch a Pokemon, and it's just goofy. He gets chased by the Pokemon, which I thought was funny. That Pokemon, the story behind it, is it really does wear the skull of its mother. That's what that little bone, that bone. Because they say something in the movie, and I remembered that from the mythology of it. So he's the reason that he's sad and stuff. But yeah, he as a baby, he found his mom dead, and he wore her skull to remember her.
That's like something a serial killer would do. Yeah. Actually, that's something a serial killer did do.
But it's a sad, cute little Pokemon.
Go
so
read
okay.
up on Ed Gein.
So he ends up getting a phone call. He's walking with his friend, and he's kind of getting made fun of for being an insurance adjuster or whatever.
He gets the call, and his from Ken Watanabe. Yeah. Is in this movie, by the way.
Right, you want to release it in China, don't you?
Yes, that's true.
Well, you know this. I mean, Pokemon.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But
he's one of those actors that, like, if I were to ever cast a movie, I would find a role for him because I think that dude is amazing. Like, I love that dude.
Depends how much you want to pay Ken Watanabe.
If I'm making a movie, I'm sparing. Look, if I will cut my budget.
You want him to play every Pokemon?
Yeah, every Pokemon. I will cut my budget so I can get John Saxton and Tom Atkins. Like, that's a little budget right there. And then Kurt Russell, and then Ken Watanabe.
Your dream casting.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
So, I just watched Inception last night again, and I'm like, there
how great is he in
so
that?
So good, yeah.
Batman Begins.
Yeah, so he gets the call, and he has to now go to, is it Rhyme City? Is that the name of it?
Yeah,
so for the people that know Pokemon, is that a thing?
No, the show was, the show was based in... Oh, do you remember, Nicole, what their town?
I have no idea. Again, I know nothing. So, I just remember watching
it. Yeah, the show was Ash and Misty and Brock. Yes.
Which there is a kid that looks like Ash in this movie, right?
Oh, is there?
Like, when they show one of the Pokemon.
No, he wore the outfit, but I don't think
it's supposed to be Ash. But he was wearing
it's
the
a Pokemon
Ash
trainer outfit.
Is that what that is?
Yes. It's
okay. So the costume that Ash wears is
Ash dresses like a Pokemon. He wants to be a Pokemon trainer. He wants to be the very best, like no one ever was, you see.
Take it easy.
So...
If you don't set that to tunes, like,
but there's like an Emerald City, and there were I know it sounds like Wizard of Oz, but there was an Emerald City, but there's the town is called something, and Tom's gonna maybe look it up here. Where's Ash from? If you look up where Ash was from, and Ash was the character I think in the Game Boy games, and that's why he was the lead.
He was the lead character
the
on
show,
the show.
Right?
I remember that.
So Rhyme City is new, and the backstory behind this is there's this dying rich billionaire guy.
His hometown was Pallet Town.
Pallet Town was his hometown.
And
so maybe
from the region of...
Kanto. Well, as soon as you said the Kanto region. So
was there a Raccoon City?
No. I think you're thinking of a much more violent game.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So I was like, where is Ash Ketchum from? According to Google, he's from Pokemon.
Yeah. So in this movie, they mention the Kanto region because they want to set up that they're in the same universe, but they didn't want to go to those characters yet. And the director addressed that. I think one of the reporters said, like, well, now that you've had Pikachu in this movie, how does that affect whatever else? And the director's like, hey, Pikachu is a type of Pokemon.
Right.
Like, one Pikachu, there's a lot of Pikachus, right? So this movie has no bearing on those characters.
I wonder if they want to do an Ash movie.
Maybe the next one will be, So they go to Rhyme City. Bill Nighy plays the
which
the
founder. I got to tell you, if he's in your movie, he's going to be the bad guy. As soon as you see, I guess he wasn't always a bad guy in Shaun of the Dead. Like, he was kind of a bad guy, but he really wasn't. Yeah. Then he became a bad guy.
Was he a bad guy when he was a science guy?
This is Bill Nighy.
Oh.
Yeah, completely different.
Hell, he was a hero growing up. Did he turn to the dark side? Yeah.
I guess he wasn't a bad guy in Babe.
He used all his powers for fracking.
No, that's not him. That's who was in Babe.
Oh, I can't remember. I know who you're talking
James
not,
Cromwell.
James Cromwell. Not Bill Nighy.
Bill Nighy was in...
James Cromwell is the American Bill Nighy.
He really is. Yeah, he really, really is.
Bill Nighy was in Love, Actually. He was kind of a jerk, but he wasn't a bad guy.
Was he in that... What was that Time Machine one?
Hot Tub Time Machine?
No.
The
good one.
Like, with Rachel, no special effects.
Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
And, About Time?
Donald Gleason.
I think that was it.
I think he's the dad.
Okay. Yeah, he is. That's a
movie. Fantastic
So flick. We find out he has some kind of a sickness, and somehow he goes to this island and lives with Pokemon, and he finds that
he's the Jane Goodall of Pokemon.
Yeah, the best way to do whatever, research this sickness is to build this city where Pokemon and humans coexist. So they give you a nice expositional video when he's going to Rhyme City. Like, we are now playing this video about the city. But
Exposition Central.
I guess if you've never been there, though, it's kind of cool. Like, within the story, it makes
sense.
When
you go to Disney on the bus, they show you
right? So that's why I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And so you see Pokemon walking the street. There's birds and even the Charmanders. And, I mean, they all coexist.
It's kind of like the – honestly, it's more like the Muppets.
Yeah,
like
right,
the Muppets are just there.
That's a good example.
Yeah, that's great.
Unlike that awful puppet movie, not Muppets.
Yeah.
They weren't Muppets. They were puppets.
Was that the detective?
Yeah, yes. The Happy Time Murders one.
Oh, that was the detective
what
movie.
What a garbage movie that was. Yeah. So much potential.
So he goes to Ken Watanabe, who's like the police captain that obviously knew his father well.
And he's doing like that. He's got this like this gravitas of a voice, and he's doing it the whole time. I was like, yeah, dude, you get your paycheck. You earn that money.
And I like that bulldog Pokemon the whole time that was just staring. And he's like, oh, he's a sweet little...
just growling at him the entire time. So yeah, he gives him the key to the apartment. The kid is just immediately look, man, I just want to get my dad's stuff. I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
So he gets
we should say, like, the kid, we don't know why yet, but he went to live with his grandma after his mom died.
Right. Well, he stayed with his grandma.
Well, yeah. So like, and the dad's been here. And so we come to find out later that like the kid used to be into Pokemon.
Right.
But this whole situation with the mom.
Turned him
and,
off.
And, yeah.
So yeah. So he goes back to the apartment. He's gathering stuff. There's a girl that is kind of following him around.
This was funny.
I liked her.
Yeah. I like in a different movie or maybe with a different actor, it wouldn't have been good because it was really goofy, but she was like trying to be this hard nosed detective, but she's a blogger for the town newspaper. And I just thought it was hilarious how she talked hey, private eye. Like, oh, I'm hot on the case on the heels. I thought it was so funny. I don't know her, but
she was in Supernatural. She was in a bunch of episodes. Like she's like recurring character.
She was in, Chicken Noise Blockers too. She was one of the daughter.
She's kind of like the Stifler.
Yeah. So you've seen her.
Did you ever see Blockers? Have everybody seen that?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it. It's great.
It's surprisingly good.
It's, it's very funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said that on the show when it came out, and everybody
really
gave me side eye.
Just like, get out of here.
Yeah, I was like, it's actually pretty good.
Damn it, Tom.
It's like a Cena, but Leslie Mann and
Ike Berkowitz were great. And Cena was, Cena playing against type. It was whatever.
It was fine. Yeah.
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 Cause it was because the trailer had that butt chugging scene. You're like, this looks so
in
stupid.
Context. It was
but in the trailer, you're just like,
it was kind of like Melissa McCarthy falling off the scooter.
It was
Spy.
Yeah,
like in the trailer, you're just like, oh, really, we're doing this.
Again.
But in context, it was really funny.
Exactly. Yeah, it's when she's not being directed by her husband.
Yes,
she's a solid actress.
Yeah, that does not bode well for the marriage. She was just actually in Carbondale.
She got an honorary astrophysics PhD, too.
Yeah, she's she went.
Look at that, Nicole. All that work.
Yeah, Carbondale.
Yeah, all you had to do was become an actor, Nicole, and they just give them to you.
Oh, man. Life choices.
I know, right? But, yeah, she was Carbondale is not that far from here.
Right.
And she went to Carbondale.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they gave her an honorary degree. She was just in car. I saw people posting on Twitter, like, I ran into
Melissa McCarthy.
We should have had her on this episode.
Nicole, we're going to have to ask you to leave. Kevin wants you to leave.
There's only one woman allowed.
Right. Yes.
Oh, and you know that if I were to pick a woman for the podcast,
it would be Melissa McCarthy. Your deep love for Melissa McCarthy.
So, yeah. So he goes in the apartment and he just kind of, his room is there that he never actually slept in. So his dad just
made it is
him
weird.
A,
his dad made him a room that looked like his childhood room because he wanted him to come live there,
right?
Which I get. And like, he just never, I guess he always held out hope that he would come back, stay with him.
So he hears kind of like a, something get knocked over on the outside.
And he hears talking because, Pokemon don't talk. So you wouldn't think it's a Pokemon. He's like, rumbling around in there.
Yeah. So he comes outside and he sees a lamp has been knocked over and there's Pikachu.
Yeah.
And it's Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think Ryan Reynolds just has, we've said this a million times, is he just has like a natural
charisma
on
he's,
screen.
He's so charming and just his voice.
But the thing that impressed me is that charisma and charm transferred without his body being on
screen.
That's
what I'm saying. It's his
you know
voice.
What I mean? Like it was his voice and his inflections and the way he delivered lines.
Because
he was a charismatic Deadpool too, and he was just a mask.
Yeah. I totally agree.
And you don't see
absolutely.
I think it's because we all know Ryan Reynolds at this point, and we know he's a charming, handsome, charismatic dude.
Right.
So when you hear that voice, you know what he looks like saying it.
Sure.
And he has that delivery where you really believe it. Like, he's such a goofy, fun person naturally. Like, you know that's not just an act for the movies. He's always tweeting or doing interviews, and it's just that's him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that comes through when you interpret his material. And, yeah, again, I thought it was going to be a wreck with him just basically talking as Pikachu. And
he should have been Guy Gardner. Yeah. Like, if they were going to do, if they ever,
yeah,
they're going to do that at some point. There's going to be a new Green Lantern movie at some point.
I mean, is it just Hal Jordan's the most recognizable?
I disagree. There is a whole generation of kids.
But not 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true. But that Justice League cartoon.
Yeah.
There was no Hal. It was John Stewart.
Right.
So, like,
but banking back then, they're like, we got to get the no one knows Green Lantern outside of the comic diehards. So they're like, we got to get the name that maybe people are familiar with.
But when they made that movie, it was John Stewart.
Yeah.
John Stewart was the most recognizable back then.
Yeah.
And now here we are.
Should have got Idris for that.
Oh,
would have been great, right?
Dang it.
So back here. So yeah. the kid can understand the Pikachu.
Right.
And we already mentioned
which
why.
Which apparently is a thing that nobody can understand.
No one can understand any Pokemon. It's when you have your Pokemon partner, they explain there's a connection. They can read your feelings, and so you have that bond. But you hear.
Kevin, who's your spirit Pokemon?
My spirit Pokemon?
Balthazar.
Probably that blobby one that just kind of
yeah. I was like, I think I'm yeah. Like, I think I'm probably Jigglypuff. Yeah,
or so I'm sleeping. And
the older I get, Squirtle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Did you have to go take a Squirtle?
Yeah, that's where I went. Yeah, that's why I was gone for the last 2 minutes.
But so everyone else, I mean, everyone hears every Pokemon that they say their name. That's
right.
How it's always been in the cartoon.
Right.
So it's like Pikachu goes Pika Pika, and
right.
And
Squirtle.
What was that? The Psyduck is like Psyduck.
Yeah.
Psyduck.
Oh man.
And so
now I gotta tell you, if my Pokemon was Psyduck, I'd have punched that thing in the face. Oh. Good Lord.
Now that's animal abuse. You can find him, but you can't.
Fine.
So he hears him talk, and at first he just is like, what? And then as he keeps talking, this kid thinks he's going crazy.
Right. So like they go to like a coffee shop, and like Pikachu is talking. And so everybody around him hears like the Pika Pika, but when the kid's talking to him, it's normal. Like,
see,
it's just.
And this is why I think this script is smart, one of many reasons. But they address things like this. Otherwise, we'd be sitting there going, doesn't anyone think he's crazy talking
right.
to a Pokemon that's going Pika Pika?
Yeah.
And like, they address it. He picks up his cell phone
like,
and has a pretend
on cell, yeah.
So they do things in this movie where, as ridiculous as it may be for us to be like, oh, a world where Pokemon exists in a live action setting and all this. But they address little subtle things like that where I think it's very smart and makes you believe, like, okay, in this world, this
right.
is all kind of making sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So the kid kind of says, like, Pikachu kind of says, he's like, look, your dad's not dead. Like, if I'm still alive, your dad was my partner, like, your dad has to be alive. So they start working this case.
And I like that Ken Watanabe addresses that, because he goes to the police chief, or Ken, and he says, hey, if he's alive, my dad's alive. And he's like, that's not necessarily how this works, which is the same thing I thought. So, again, that's another way they address it, where
right.
you're like, you know, one person can survive a two-person car crash. Like,
not both people.
You're clinging
right.
on to hope. It doesn't mean, and so.
Well, it's Ken Watanabe shows, like, a video of Mewtwo kind of attack, you know. So the deal is this Pikachu does not have a memory. He doesn't remember
yes.
what happened. So there's a video of Mewtwo after this car crash from the beginning of the movie.
But he has a detective hat.
Right.
And he knows for some reason he feels that he's a detective.
Right. And he has it like it's the name is inside the hat, which is like we say detective. It's basically the Sherlock Holmes hat.
It's
like that's
yeah.
what it is.
Basically it
is the Sherlock Holmes hat. Yeah.
Well, except smaller.
It's very smaller. Yes,
yeah.
That's true.
How cute would that have been, though? A little Pikachu with a big hat flopping over his head. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've lost Kevin.
I thought the Pikachu was very cute in this movie. I'm not afraid to say so.
The CG
so
was very well done.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree. So they start working the case, and they start working kind of backwards and trying to figure things out. They enlist the help of the cubby reporter.
Yeah.
And like they're all starting to work together, and like it's becoming clearer and clearer that we should say that while the kid was searching the dad's apartment, he finds this purple vial. He accidentally opens it, and it sprays this purple smoke, turning the Pokemon that are outside feral.
Were we supposed to research the names of these things? Because I'm going to
I'm not.
Purple monkey Pokemon.
Purple monkey Pokemon.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, the Pokemon. I'm not
we're not nine.
Yeah, I'm not even going to tell, like, what animal they are.
Because,
yeah,
like, I mean,
the Pokemon that were outside.
Because, I mean, I'll tell you, again, Charmander, the Bulbasaurs, who I thought they were really cute, too, when they all came out. And, like, those original ones, fine. Jigglypuff, you know, those were all in the original, I think, 151.
I could tell you three of them.
But, okay.
That's as far as
I've already made all the Pokemon references I can.
Yeah.
I got it. Jigglypuff, Psyduck, Squirtle, I'm out.
Yeah. Charmander, Pikachu, Squirtle.
So
as far as I can get
these things go nuts. And I think that's another risky thing they did with this movie. This is the first live action Pokemon movie. And they do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
They make the Pokemon turn feral, like you said, and go crazy and try to attack humans. They blow up a mime. Like, there's some things in this movie some things in this movie where I'm like,
the Pokemon orgy?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like that was a little gratuitous.
You went to the midnight show?
Yeah. you could really tell, like, as Nicole was referencing, both the wetness and the fur.
Oh.
Squirtle took on a whole new meaning.
Yes.
Yeah, at that one.
And it was very, it was all matted.
Hey, can we hand this maraca to Nicole for this screen? Do you have your own maraca?
Yeah,
like the official Real Spoilers?
We
should start selling the official Real Spoilers maraca so you can shake along.
Nicole,
at home.
We've been saying that for weeks. Yeah. That we need Dan, but we got him back for Avengers. That was good.
Yeah, that was a nice surprise.
So yeah, so they're working this case. They track like the one spot where they, you know, are actually doing Pokemon fights,
where you get like Diplo and the DJ, not Diplo. I knew he was someone, and I looked it up later. It was Diplo, who like used to be a Skrillex, like one of the big DJs. That's in there for the kids.
Wait, Diplo and Skrillex are the same thing?
No, they used to. It was like Diplo and Skrillex were almost like they would team up on tons of. Skrillex is the long hair, shave side, black hair, glasses.
Yeah. He's DJ. The one that did the Bieber song. Sorry. Right?
I think so.
I mean, I would know.
What is happening right now?
So for the kids.
I just know Skrillex had that video where it was like an X-Men girl was in it or something.
Yeah. Oh.
But Skrillex,
have you seen the, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Where it was like all about this girl who's like 10, but she's got like superpowers.
You had me at X-Men.
Yeah. It's not really X-Men, but it's
then hell.
It's like that.
Okay.
So yeah, when people ask me to name a famous DJ, I'm like, Wolfman Jack?
So Diplo
Smash?
is the blonde guy that I think was like Pokemon fight or whatever. It's for the kids in there.
Okay.
But the actual DJ that ends up going in the ring with the big Charizard, I guess is what this one is. He's the star of that No Muchos Caliente Dos or whatever. The one that used to be in the top 10.
Oh, that was there forever.
No Muchos, he's the star of that movie because I looked him up and I'm like, you're kidding.
Oh,
that's funny.
So the kid has to, I guess that Pikachu had been there previously while they're trying to get information. This guy says, if you beat my Charizard, you can. That sounded dirty.
Wait, can I just say those speaker Pokemon were terrifying. That will give me nightmares. Like with the ears that were speakers and their mouth with the teeth.
Boom, boom.
Oh, yeah. Disgusting.
Gotta get that bass.
Joe's all about that.
All about that base.
What I found
trainers.
What I found interesting. Now, going back to my nerdy Pokemon knowledge from back in the day. So you have a Charizard, which is an evolved Charmander, which I think then goes to Charmeleon, and then Charizard is the big badass dragon, huge looking one, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pikachu is the tiny little unevolved Raichu. Like, I mean, he's your basic Pokemon, and yeah, he can shock stuff, but I don't think a Pikachu is supposed to be able to beat a Charizard. And so I was a little confused as to how the Charizard lost that fight.
Are you saying it would be like Mimic trying to fight Wolverine?
Yes. There you go.
We have to translate this into Joe. Yeah.
So in this world, I'm just saying, and again, it's a small little part, but like maybe listeners that play Pokemon or trade the cards or whatever can explain it. But to me, I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. They wanted it to be this big, intimidating battle, but I don't think that Pokemon would be able to take on the higher level.
I don't know.
Sure. Anyway, I have no idea.
I found it interesting, but he had beaten him previously, and the DJ guy was mad, and he's like, I want a rematch for this information of where we're getting this R.
Yeah, and of the R, right. And then, of course, Pikachu can't perform.
That was funny because
he doesn't.
I thought
have
he was about
memory.
To drop a steamy one in the middle of the ring. I guess because it's a kids' movie, they didn't go that far. But he was struggling where you're supposed to. They all like everyone in the audience gives this look of disgust, like he's about to take a dump in the in the arena. And I thought that was really funny.
And then at the last second, I guess somehow the R this.
Well, the guy comes out. the guy comes out because I think the Charizard starts chasing Pokemon or Pikachu.
No, it's Tim jumps in first.
Yeah, he jumps in.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Good call.
To save Pikachu. Right. And then the other guy's like, what are you doing? And he jumps in. And then he crashes and he's got all the R in his.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of vials in like his jacket. And they crack
his flasher jacket.
Yeah,
his flasher jacket.
Yeah, right. And then all of the Pokemon go feral inside this thing, so they kind of get away. In the process, Tim kind of corners the DJ and gets some information out of him. And then they take off. And then
he says that the doctor is the one. He doesn't know anything except it comes from the doctor,
right? And then they're being followed by. Not creepy.
By goons.
Yeah. Well, one. Like the one blonde.
Yeah, that's true. There's this kind of mysterious, you know, it's your typical like glasses,
right.
Mysterious looking villain that we find out later why she's so mysterious and why she's tailing them.
And she had these like latex pink gloves. Did you see that?
Yeah,
it was like a perfect. Sorry, I have said this like it was a big reveal, and you guys were like, "Oh yeah, of course." But no, it's because she's the Ditto, so it's like pink.
So okay. what do the gloves mean?
I didn't because
she's a Ditto, and the Ditto is a pink blob, and so I thought that was just like a foreshadowing of she's a Ditto because once we get the reveal, I was like, they made this special show that she was.
Yeah.
I got you.
And it wasn't a normal material. And I don't even know. Latex is a good way to describe it. But when they showed these things on her hands, the texture, something about it was weird. Like you were supposed to note that she had these things because to me, and you know, I'd have to watch it again, but it almost blended in with her skin. Like there was something showing about those where it was like she's a robot or you know something is
Men in Black
off
Men
yeah
in Black
it
crossover.
Was yeah so anyway but yeah that's why so she's but she's working for the bad guy and like Joe said I mean from the beginning they kind of set up like a switcheroo but they show Bill Nye and he's this guy that's trying to stay alive from an incurable disease so right you're like okay obviously he's doing something with these Pokemon to try to prolong his life
right
it's pretty telegraphed
they're trying to make you think that his son
that's the switch where it's kind of like okay I mean the son did seem like a d-bag and I think that's why the switcheroo worked so well because you're like well how could he be a good guy
so they team back up with the Cubby reporter and they find like this secret base and they go to break in the base and then we find all
did
of these...
he meet with Bill Nye yet and showed him the
he
car
did,
crash
yeah
I think.
Yeah that's where we get the 3D imaging of the car
a
crash
really cool hologram I did like
the way that was set up like I liked the
idea
really
that great visual yeah, and yeah. He explains it that he's confined to this wheelchair so he can't go out into the world but he brings the world to him
right
and so with security footage and this is a very futuristic metropolis type. I mean, this is...
they have more of a central city.
Yeah, so it's very high-tech.
See,
and so,
that was a DC joke, Kevin. Yeah. That was for you.
I know. Am I supposed
to...
Like do you want
a
high-five?
City. Yeah, more like a Gotham City or, you know.
So, pat yourself on the back
Thank
over there,
very
Joe.
Much, yeah.
So, he's invented this technology where he can take security footage and cameras. And so, he was able to take that footage that we saw, Ken Watanabe showed him, and recreate an actual hologram. And they show the car... flipping over and
Mewtwo kind of
and he only
like
shows
he
him part of the video that we'll find out but it look you see Mewtwo shooting these whatever
Laser
explosions
beams.
And then you see him almost beam up the Pikachu so it's like see what he did like this Mewtwo is evil.
I think the line was like with these videos people tend to see what they want to see and that'll come into play later
and so he says you have to your dad is alive or maybe is alive so you need to
figure
track him down and help us stop this Mewtwo
right so they go to this facility that we see in the beginning of the movie he Pikachu Tim and the Cubby reporter we should probably stop saying the word Cubby that takes a different meaning altogether
I actually don't know what you're referring to when you say Cubby.
Well, it just
means junior reporter.
It does.
Okay. They used to call them Cub reporters.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's something that they would have said like on the Superman TV show with
Jimmy Olsen.
Because of Jimmy Olsen
with George Reeves,
right.
Like the black
or,
and white. Yeah.
Or you can Google the meaning of the word Cub now, and it's completely different.
How about we call her Lucy?
Lucy's great.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Well, Mr. Feminist over here. How about we call her by her name? Okay.
She has a name. Thank you.
So they go back to this facility and they realize they find all of these genetically altered Pokemon. and they're just kind of walking through, and they find a, somehow they're able to recreate exactly what happened with the Mewtwo originally.
I guess they have the same holographic,
right?
Whatever.
And it kind of looks like they find the Doctor, they find the vials and vials of R, and they kind of show the dad maybe not being a good guy, like trying to track down Mewtwo.
We still don't know, but we're to presume that Mewtwo is bad because of Bill Nighy and Mewtwo trying to explode people and breaking out or whatever. And then they show that the Doctor, who's Rita Ora, I'm not too familiar with her, but
yeah,
like
name is familiar.
She's like a YouTuber, or is she an actress?
She's a singer. A British singer.
Oh, she's a singer. That's what it is. Yeah. So she's the Doctor, and she's like, you know, now hopefully you can find this for us. Like, it's to show that the dad is like
working a case,
working exactly, but working with them, who we presume are the bad guys,
right? So the Pokemon, like, the,
while this is happening, it's the who we're led to believe is the son, the bad guy's son, is remotely logged in, and he's let go all those ninja.
He's all the Pokemon are out, and he's letting them all out, and there's a big fight sequence and.
Who let the Pokemon out?
The sun.
Who?
The sun.
Who?
The sun.
Who?
The sun. The sun. Oh.
Ditto.
Yeah, ditto. So, yeah, so I think, so there's a big fight that happens inside this facility. At the same time, there's these two other Pokemon that I guess are Earth-based, that this part of the island isn't an island. Like,
this is cool, and it was clear what was going to happen, because when they see them, they're like, oh, those look normal size. I guess they haven't grown yet, but there's the animals that like burrow underground, and on their back, like, they look like turtles or tortoises, but on their back it's like trees and plants and landscaping grows on them. And so when they show you those, and then they eventually escape through that chamber to the outside, which connects to those guys, and then it looks like there's a huge earthquake, and I turned to Katie, I'm like,
Pikachu.
Like, they're on the bottom on top of these huge animals, and they are like island size, these things. I don't know if this is new, or maybe they just exaggerated it for this movie, but like, if you have a Pokemon that size, you're beating every other Pokemon. Yeah, like,
that is no longer a pocket monster.
No,
that is Godzilla.
Yeah.
That's where that works.
This thing eats Godzilla for lunch. Like, no. I mean, they're the size of it.
Godzilla's the king of the monsters, Kevin.
Not in this universe.
We'll see that next week.
This thing's the size of an island, literally. But anyway, so they escape out through there, and there's this big scene where they're trying to hang on. And
It was a pretty well done scene. I mean, look, this movie is fairly small in its scope for the most part. So when they do scenes like this, it's pretty impressive that they're able to do fairly good CG and, you know, make everything work. And it didn't seem choppy. It doesn't seem rushed. It seemed like they took their time and well rendered.
Yeah. I mean, the detective stuff is small, but I think the world building is very good in this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
I get what Joe's saying, though. I feel like you're saying that like it's overall, it's fairly small, and they show you these glimpses, but it's done in such a way that makes you feel like you're seeing a big world.
Exactly. Yeah.
But you can tell
sometimes
from a budgetary standpoint that it's not as giant of a movie as you know,
we need to close in on this one scene to make it look,
but like Rhyme City and all that, I thought they built up really well with the scope of the whole city and the buildings and all the technology and everything.
Right. Yeah,
so they stretched their budget. I mean, I mean, it is $150 million movie, so like, don't get us wrong, it's not a cheap movie.
No.
But the action is good. I agree. I was pretty much on the edge of my seat. Like, I'm not thinking that all the characters are gonna die, but like, as far as the danger,
it's not the Avengers.
Yeah, but as far as the danger and them hanging on and everything, I'm like, this is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And then Pikachu gets knocked on the head by like a little boulder.
Well, he gets zapped and he's going to die. So like
I thought he got hit in the head with a boulder as well.
Yeah, I thought it was
out.
A boulder.
Oh, was it?
Little boulders are falling from the island and he gets knocked in the head and like.
Oh, at this point, you're just like, oh, that's how amnesia works. So now he's going to get his memory back.
I thought he was going to get the memory back. But since that's
if
not.
If movies have taught me anything, it just takes a blow to the 100%, head.
100%. I'm like, okay, that's going to knock it back into him. But he's basically dying.
Right.
And so once.
He has there's a Squirtle,
like,
I guess.
Gunshot wounds work that way? Like, those are all medical problems?
I feel like yes.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
We have lung. We hate to tell you this, but you have lung cancer.
Shoot him in the lung.
Here's a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
Just smoke up. Yeah. Right. If you smoke more, your lung cancer will go away. Right.
Did you guys think it was interesting that those big tortoise islands, like, they just got up to stretch, I guess, and they went back down?
I'm tired.
When they all went back down, I'm like, what?
This crap on my back is heavy. I don't know. I don't feel like
that was interesting.
It.
But so Pikachu is dying. Like, he's there and he's, you know, doing the, like, you know, oh, goodbye. You know, he's hardly awake, opening his eyes or whatever. And a pretty emotional moment between Justice Smith and this Pokemon. I mean, I have to say, these kids are, and these people are acting with nothing. Imaginary creatures. So, like, I thought the interactions were really good.
No, it's not like Sean Gunn is there to help.
I mean,
them.
I don't know how they did it, right. But they did a really good job, and it's an emotional moment.
They just hired Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
He did dressed him up as, yeah.
So the little, these are the Bulbasaurs.
Bulbasaurs, yeah.
Yeah. And so they kinda, one comes out, it's really cute, and he can talk to... he can't talk to him.
Right,
he's
right,
used
right.
to, but he says he recalls from earlier. But
the
he can
mind
feel.
Meld.
He can feel our what's going on, and so it kind of walks away. And they're like, "No, my God, what are you doing?" And
right.
then he comes back with like 50 of these things.
Right.
Really cute scene where they lead him off, and
they take him in there, and they Mewtwo shows up again.
Yeah,
and
this was the big deal because it was like all these little creatures go away, and you think, "Oh, they have this magical healing ability."
Right.
And he's like, "Where are you going?" And then we see Mewtwo beam, or, you know, fly down from the.
And he fixes Pikachu. Yeah. At the same time he fixes Pikachu, Mewtwo gets captured by the sun, and they go back to... They're going to throw this big party, and inside... Again, the exact same plot from Batman, where the Joker has the Joker gas full of the balloon. Like, all the
I
balloons
just saw
are
that
filled
in
with
theaters
Joker gas. Did
a
you?
Week ago.
How was it?
It was really good.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like is they redid all the sound effects. So, you know, the old, like the Sakatumi, like the guns and the
really?
You know, like the really exaggerated 80s sound effects.
Yeah.
They redid them for the new mix, and so I missed the old sounds that made it
lame.
Great, but it looked good. But anyway,
are you gonna pay to go see Batman and Robin?
No. 89's all I need to see in theaters. But I thought the same thing. It's a parade with gas coming out of balloons.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. So
we didn't even mention the Home Alone Easter egg. Did you see that?
I did see that.
So while they were editing this movie,
my kid immediately goes, like, she can, like, she's kind of like me, where she, like, she's watched that movie enough times.
Yeah.
She starts reciting the Home
the
Alone,
fake
the
movie,
fake,
yeah.
fake movie. Yeah.
Did you catch this, Nicole? The Home Alone Easter egg?
Yeah. The TV started playing that, right?
Yeah. Angels with Dirty Wings is a fake movie they filmed only for Home Alone. So they were editing, and the director wanted a placeholder. They were just going to show some old classic detective movie, and they couldn't find anything to beat that playing on the TV. So they paid and licensed it.
That's
Keep
cool.
The
change, you filthy.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So they go back to the city, and the plot is we find out that Bill Nye, shockingly enough, is the bad guy.
Oh.
He's going to use this neural link to take his crappy body and take over the body of Mewtwo.
They needed the kid to find Mewtwo.
Right.
And they basically followed him and
did it.
Yeah.
So the plot now is they're going to release the gas. And when the gas is released and these things are feral, that Mewtwo has the power to, I guess, put all human beings into Pokemon.
Well, and they have to be frustrated or whatever. So
right.
that's why they found out that the R, which makes the Pokemon ferocious, is the state they need to be in for the mind transfer.
Right.
Yeah.
So they do.
Wait,
it.
So does the human body then need to be? I know this is like all fake science, anyways. But does, the human body?
That's why you're on the show, Nicole. You're here to explain this to us.
That's why you asked me, not because I'm an Asian woman.
You're Asian. I don't see color.
Yeah, but does the human body then need to be alive and like kept preserved? Because it seems like Bill Nye would still die. And then his mind would just stay in Mewtwo?
Here's the weird thing. So, like, Bill Nye is the only one whose body doesn't disappear.
He has a device. Mewtwo didn't do that to him.
Oh.
He's in Mewtwo. He has a mind meld device. The other people, they disappear. And then they reappear. Mm-hmm. It's some kind of Mewtwo magic or whatever. So I thought the same thing because...
trademark that right now.
Mewtwo magic?
Mewtwo magic.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I thought that was weird, too, because I'm like, oh, they should have all the humans kind of laying around, and then they wake up. But as they start coming back, spoilers, they save the day.
Yeah.
The humans start, like, beaming in. They appear all of a sudden.
Next to the next
Pokemon.
So the, you know, finally, I guess, Pikachu unlocks his power, and he fights Mewtwo. Big, and I gotta tell you, this is kind of like Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi one,
mm-hmm.
where they're fighting throughout the city, you know, across the city, and when he's fighting the Green Goblin, like on whatever day that was.
You skipped over Sad Pikachu, which was really cute.
Oh,
and sad.
Oh, that's right, I did. Yeah. So yeah,
he's singing the Pokemon song as he's,
which I did enjoy that. Like, yeah, when he's just kind of walking along and he does start, but he has flashes of the memory and he realizes that. Oh, wait, Mewtwo's not the bad guy. I didn't set all this up. I'm not the bad guy. And then he takes off to help Tim. So big fight ensues. They disconnect Bill Nye from Mewtwo.
Mewtwo's basically to Pikachu like, "Ha, you cannot defeat me," and he's like, "All yes, I do is distract you."
Yeah,
and then the kid goes and takes the device off. And
so Mewtwo resets everybody. Lucy gets pulled away from Psyduck. Yeah.
The sun was really not bad. He falls out of a closet, and he was actually a Ditto that was pretending to be him.
Right. So,
but
so
see, how long was the sun a Ditto? Because Ditto, the eyes, like his eyes, were totally normal.
As soon as the sun, as soon as you start seeing the sun with sunglasses,
okay,
he puts the flip. But this is what I don't understand, though. Okay, so the sun was a bad. Seemed like a jerk during that interview, but in that interview he puts on sunglasses, those same stupid sunglasses.
So maybe that's where the switch happens.
But I thought we see his eyes during the interview, so I was very confused.
You do.
When you first see the dad and the son
doing that interview
like
together.
They're fighting, and if you remember the fight, like the dad was being a jerk and the son was right. So even though the son was kind of amped up and playing it douchey, he wasn't wrong. Like I remember that was when I was like, "Oh, Bill Nye must be the bad guy," because I'm like, "Because the son's right." Like the, you know, I don't remember.
I
don't remember what they were fighting
dad
about.
Introduced himself as the founder and savior of the city or whatever.
Yeah,
but like I didn't think it was in a douchey way.
Like icon, and he called himself an icon.
Yeah.
So the son sounded petulant, and he was like, "Why are you trying to be the one?" And I'm blah blah blah. So like, I think they still showed you that they tried to make it look like Bill Nye was just a old. Senile, or you know, like,
see, I just feel like that's so like self aggrandizing that I was just like, oh, like that's like the son's right to be.
We know
like,
you're the
even,
bad guy.
Even if you're just like, oh, it's a cute personality quirk, like the son should be like, dad, like people are gonna think you're a grade A douche, like you gotta dial that back,
sure. But so, like, that's what confused me is because he puts those douchey sunglasses on right after that interview. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If you could see his eyes during the interview, so I guess he wasn't. He was just
no. He was. I think he got switched right then.
Well, how you? We never lost them. Like,
or there was like a scene in between, and then
I think he gets up from the interview talking to the dad
and
he puts
away.
Sunglasses on.
He does, and then as he's walking away. That gal is there.
Right. No, my point is, though, he seemed like a douche in the interview.
I got you.
So
I got you.
The way they set it up, it's very possible that both Bill Nye and the son are a little douchey.
Right.
But it actually was Bill Nye
who was the real bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So they set everything back to being right. And then Mewtwo kind of says, he's like, look, I have something I need to tell you. He's like,
at the very end, Pikachu takes a huge fall. It's a really dramatic moment. And Mew's kind of knocked out too because he takes that headset, the mind meld thing off of Mewtwo. And they both, Mewtwo is holding Pikachu and they both go falling. And at the last second, Mewtwo wakes up, it levitates the Pikachu, and
he's
fine. Yeah.
So he says, he's like, to save your dad's life, I had to put him into the Pikachu. Yeah. And this is where they separate them. And of course, there's a big flash and we cut to Tim standing at a bus station.
I mean, I'm a little hesitant to admit this. I actually got kind of emotional during this scene.
Oh, I
like,
did.
I
was good.
I thought it was a really nice way to handle it.
I had my fair share of emotional breaking points at the game.
And I'm not saying like I was sitting there bawling with my box of tissues, but like the way that he showed him that like his dad isn't dead and he's been there the whole time, and like I thought it was a really touching moment. And this is like, I don't know, he's been with his dad the whole time, and they had this relationship, and after thinking that he's lost the other one multiple times, and I don't know. It's just
I
thought it was handled really well. Again, this is a Pokemon movie,
sure,
and like the acting and the script, I think, were way better, at least than I expected.
Yeah,
and they handled these characters and these emotional beats surprisingly well. Because you go into kids' movies, and the best ones are the ones that have the jokes, like Nicole mentioned, and this one had those. But you don't expect maybe the best script out of it.
Sure,
and
right.
For what it is, I'm like, this is pretty legit.
Yeah. So the scene.
Would you say that you had a Blastoise?
Oh, did you look that one up?
No, I remember that one.
So Tim's at the bus station, and you see Pikachu kind of walk up from behind him, and you hear Ryan Reynolds' voice, and just kind of like, "Hey, kid." And then next to Pikachu, you see 2 feet. And then it pans up, and of course, it's Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds is this kid's dad. And it's funny, like, when they show his grandmother, who is definitely African-American, and they show Tim, who is definitely mixed, you're just like, well, the dad has to be Ryan Reynolds.
I mean, I didn't catch that, but now looking back, it...
Like, if you look at the complexion of the grandmother,
sure,
she's definitely African-American. Tim is
But the grandma could be the dad's mom, right? Did it explicitly say that it was the mom's
mom?
They never say.
We all presume. You're right. We never. Yeah,
that's very true.
I thought we saw a picture of the mom.
Oh, we did.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Okay.
And she was black.
That makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So Ryan Reynolds is there, and then of course the Pikachu is not speaking anymore. Like, it's the Pika Pika thing.
I just think it's so cool. This kid bonded with his dad that he never knew this whole time during this movie on this adventure. It was his dad. I think that's an awesome explanation. And in the Benji movie, you know what's going on,
right?
But like, this movie withholds that, and the reveal is that the whole time he's had this amazing. The dad was his Pokemon companion, and his, you know, became friends. And
right.
I think that's just a really neat thing to do with a kid's movie like this. Yeah. I was not expecting any type of
emotional. It's a very smart script.
Art.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. Well, I think the brilliance of that is you kind of buy into why the kid can talk to Pikachu, because if for some reason, if his dad can talk to the Pikachu perfectly fine, then it makes sense that genetically there's something there and he can also talk to the Pikachu. So that I like bought into the premise and thought for a second, maybe Ryan Reynolds is the dad. I'm not sure. And then just kind of forgot about it and was still surprised by the reveal.
Yeah, it's cool. It did some cool stuff.
Yeah, so he kind of gives him a bus ticket and he says, hey, your grandma's going to be waiting for
you.
I'm
like, oh, try to return that. Why would you throw that away?
He does. So the Tim just
that's my mind. I'm like, oh my God.
That's what I said.
Did you? Yes. See, we think similarly. Like, I'm like, no, you try to go refund or at least get a credit for your next trip. Like, no.
Tim kind of says, what if I stick around with you for a little bit? And he was like, yeah, I'd love that. And
he's like, yeah, I've got your childhood bedroom that I've kept meticulous for 15 years.
Throws the train ticket in the trash. Bold move there, Tim.
Or recycle it at the very least.
Yeah, right.
See?
And that's kind of how it ends, is like the Tim walks off with his dad and kind of says, like, we will. He's like, what do you think about work? And he's like, oh, maybe some detective work. And that's kind of how it ends.
And the credits have a cool little homage to the Game Boy game. It was the Game Boy graphics of like when, you know, whatever has appeared and then they slide in from the sides. You never saw the Game Boy game, I guess?
No.
Okay. So, like, yeah, it's just the two animals slide in. So they do a clever little credits thing, but no after credits. They just, after the, like, the title cards or the credit cards come up, then they just go into...
Yeah, and I double-checked, you know.
I did, too.
And thank God for the after credits app, just because it makes life it makes things so much easier.
Yeah.
Again, that's how it ends. Like I said, the kid loved it. She got a kick out of it. I indifferent. I didn't hate it. I didn't think it was amazing.
Yeah, I'm more where you're at.
Yeah, I was like
it was better than I thought it was going to be, but yes, I didn't walk out like, oh my God, this is stunning.
I need to go play Pokemon now.
Right.
No, yeah. and it, like, to me, it didn't turn me into a believer. It's not like, oh, I'm a casual fan or used to be, and now I'm like, I got to go explore the whole world. But to me, I think it really speaks volumes to the fact that I haven't really seen these things since middle school.
Sure.
But there was still enough in it to, like, touch the fan in me and say, like, oh, wow, I know a few of these. And I also thought it was a really fun escape. Like, it was a very creative and clever world building, and I was able to escape into this world and really enjoyed it.
I am interested in how you get
a sequel.
How you get Ryan, because I, you know, they're going to want Ryan Reynolds' voice back in Pikachu,
right?
How do you do that without basically killing off his character?
Probably like a mind, one of those mind somethings. Yeah. You know, what did you think, Nicole, being a pseudo or previous fan like me?
You mean about a sequel or just in general?
No, just about the movie in general.
Oh, I just thought it was so cute and so clever. And maybe it was because I went in thinking, yeah, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, when you asked me to be on this show, it's like, I would never go out and watch this movie by myself. Like, was not planning to do that. But it was really fun. I also invited a friend, and I was so afraid that she was going to hate it and would be too nice to tell me. But we both had a great time. There were some emotional moments. We were both kind of tearing up at certain points, and laughing out loud.
Where were you when I said I was getting emotional? Yeah. Where was you jumping then?
I was just letting it happen. Yeah. I will say, did you see the Dennis Quaid dog movie before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
That has there not been like five versions of that movie? Is that the same movie?
This is the same guy.
This is a sequel.
Okay. I thought it was the sequel, but it didn't say two. So I thought I was going crazy for a second. Okay.
Yeah.
And
this guy has all these books, and he does non-animal books that are like the same, right? Because there's like a teenager's journey,
like,
or whatever.
He's like the Mitch Albom of dead dogs.
But so like he did, so that movie, A Dog's Purpose, and then A Dog's Journey are the same book guy. So he has these two movies coming out very closely.
Okay.
And then there's like all sorts of different, this is the whole thing. And they've realized that you can tap in. The movies are like Hallmark Lifetime quality, and I'm not saying they're bad, it's just they're that level, and they've realized if you release these stories that are cute, heartwarming about animals. Yeah. They can put them in theaters.
And they're like pseudo religious, but not.
Oh.
Because like.
Really? I didn't find that about the dog's purpose.
Oh, I can't. Because it's like the dog. Because like the dog keeps dying and coming back.
Oh, no, that's not the one. Dog's purpose is different than whatever you saw.
No, the one that, I mean, the one that
I just watched, The Dog's Purpose. It's about one dog that's a puppy and gets lost and he makes his way back to his owner.
No, but the trailer that Nicole's talking about is
the Dennis Quaid one is the one where the dog's being
reincarnated. Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking about the ones that are out already.
But that one with Dennis Quaid is a sequel to the one where the dog keeps dying and coming back.
I never saw that one.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and so, like, and then I'm going to ruin the movie for you.
Dog Jesus.
Yeah, I'm going to ruin the movie for you. At the end, like, the reincarnated dog basically comes back into Dennis Quaid's life and he realizes that it's the same dog that he had when he was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And you like watch this dog's like spirit keep going into
it's in the
other
trailer.
Dogs.
So Dennis Quaid
that
was
whole
the original
thing is in the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize Dennis Quaid. Okay.
So that's why he's so self-aware in the sequel trailer.
Right. Yes. Because in the original movie, like, so the movie starts in the 50s,
right?
And he has this dog, and he teaches him this special trick where it runs and jumps up on his back and catches a football or something.
That's a tell.
Yeah, and so then the dog, and then he grows up with the dog, and like the dog like dies saving his life or some crap like that. And then the dog comes back as another type of dog, and then you see that go on and on, and then finally Dennis Quaid as an adult playing the character from the 50s realizes the dog basically circles its way back to him, and then he realizes because the dog can do this trick it clearly must be the same dog, which is why in the sequel the he's so like he gets what's going on with the dog.
Go get her.
Right. I love that logic on paper. Oh, this dog can do this trick. He must be my dog.
Must be my dog.
Reincarnation.
Yeah.
Spirit dog.
So I shed a few tears for that trailer, more so than Detective Pikachu, but I was happy to see you kind of sit there and awkwardness for
a second. Thank you. I know. I'm sure you were. That's funny you mentioned that because my wife said the same thing. Like, I'm like, they're just going to keep making these movies, but they do well. And my wife's like, yeah, even that trailer made me emotional. She's like, I want to cry. they do something to people. They with animals and the bond between humans and animals and losing them. And again, going back to this movie to tie it all together, like the connection between a Pokemon and their human, they have that special emotional bond, and I think they really translated that.
A Pokemon's
purpose.
But this movie could have been really cheesy.
Yeah,
and it wasn't.
Could have been.
Yeah.
No, they did. It was not cheesy at all.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, there you go.
What did you guys think about Psyduck? Because I thought that was probably the biggest plot hole in the film, that Psyduck wasn't constantly exploding at every moment.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, in the movie, they set it up pretty well that they do things to keep his anxiety down, and it's only when he gets super worked up, like Pikachu got him, then he exploded.
But if they have to play soothing spa music in the car to make sure he doesn't explode, why is he not exploding when he sees all these creatures coming at him?
That's a good point.
So in my mind, he was really worked up because of whatever that situation was. Like, I don't think he has to have the spa music 24/7 because he walks around with the girl and doesn't explode too. I think that moment he was super stressed out and had to have it. But in general, it's just if his anxiety got way over the top, then he explodes. I don't think that Psyduck had ever gotten to that point.
Okay.
And it was only in the stress of that moment being chased by bad Pokemon and Pikachu being like egging him on, which we didn't mention, but it was a funny moment because he's
just messing with him the whole time.
Calling him out and everything, and then he saves them. I think that's from those ninja Pokemon that were chasing them.
Yeah.
And then Psyduck does this like telekinesis explosion where all the landscaping and people go flying, and
it was a big boom.
Yeah,
he was doped up.
Yeah.
They had
put
him on
sleep.
Yeah, they just had him on drugs. He was on antidepressants the whole time.
It.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah, that was the end of Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
Very good. Good pronunciation.
Thank you.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and listen to Show Spoilers, our weekly review of Game of Thrones now. And I think next up is Mr. Robot. So sign in and listen to all our good TV reviews.
And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. And we are not ignoring Nicole. She has wisely chosen to not be found.
it's for the best.
You can talk to me on the League of Show Sharers.
There you go.
It's fun talking there.
Absolutely. So you can swing by the League of Show Sharers where you can find Nicole. And also, don't forget, we'll post this in the League of Show Sharers, an official discussion thread. And she will chime in and answer all your questions about A Dog's Purpose.
And how about astrophysics? Will she answer those two?
I don't know. Do you know? I don't know. Is that really in your wheelhouse? The nuclear bioengineering, astrophysics, botany?
It's very different, but my dad does botany, actually.
Oh, really?
So nice.
Could answer a few questions, but in general, let's just talk about, you know, movies.
There you go.
I will share with you my favorite botany-related joke.
Okay.
Which is, you can lead a horticulture, but you can't make her think.
Okay. Wow.
So bad.
So, on that note... Now that I...
Well done.
Yes. So I guess coming up next week, we will tackle John Wick 3. That's next week, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So if my math is right, next week we will tackle John Wick. Well, nobody tackles John Wick.
No.
Especially not us.
I am hearing... I mean, the screening
has been...
It sounds
amazing.
I am hearing that it is insane and just full throttle. Like, it is supposed to be just... If you thought, like, the killing and stuff was crazy before and
Let's
numerous,
it.
It's... All out.
Yeah. Awesome.
Game
well,
on.
We have that to look forward to. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Jackie comes back as a cat.
Brother, my brother, tell me, what are we fighting for? We got to end this war. Should love one another. Oh, can we just pretend this war never began?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.